Good morning and welcome to the First Presbyterian Church. I made it back from San Antonio. I did get a hat. I'll wear it at Grand Gulf next week. So don't forget, we're going to worship out at Grand Gulf next week, 10:30. Come out to the Park Pavilion and bring a covered dish. We'll have worship and then we'll have lunch afterwards. We're also going to celebrate the Lord's Supper next Sunday morning, so a big day. And don't forget, whenever we worship at a little bit different time, a little bit different place, it's an opportunity to invite folks. So if you know somebody who isn't in worship regularly with a congregation, ask them to come on out and join us, and we'll have a wonderful time together. Now, other opportunities this week, whenever it turns into fall, the opportunities just explode, don't they? Port Gibson High School 4-H Club and FFA are hosting a cookout Tuesday, and hope that everybody will come and learn about their work. This Friday and Saturday, we're having a gospel music symposium and concert. This will be at Mississippi Cultural Crossroads on Friday and Saturday. I've been asked to give a talk on how the Psalms set to meter are the foundation of hymnody and thus of gospel music in both the white and black Southern culture. So I hope that it will be interesting and fun. We'll do a little psalm singing, and maybe we'll all learn how to sing a Dr. Watts. The River Point Ballet Troupe will present an historical ballet in Vicksburg in honor of their history at 4:30 on Saturday. And so hope everybody can come to that as well. We're having Bible study this week at Dorothy and Dennis's, 1 o'clock. Always have a good time, and everybody's welcome to come to that. So, with all of that in mind, let's worship the Lord. Let's be called to worship with these words. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So let's worship our God as we stand to sing his praise. Let us pray. Oh, our Lord, we thank you for your church. We thank you for the privilege and the blessing we have to share in one another's lives, to support one another in our joys and sorrows, to come together in one accord to worship and praise you. Help us to do that with one heart and mind. Help us to put aside all our discouragements and distractions. Help us to love you with all we are and all we have, even as we love one another in the same way and just as much as we love ourselves. Join us together. Join us to you in Christ, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our theme is dwelling in unity, the unity of the church. And so we turn in our hymnals to selection 653. This talks about how we should love one another and what Christian love for one another looks like. It's from John's Gospel and John's first epistle. I'll read the light-faced print and encourage you to respond with the bold. Let's read these portions of God's word responsively. Jesus said, A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another.
By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another.
He who says he's in the light and hates his brother is in the darkness still. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and in it there is no cause for stumbling. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are.
The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him.
Beloved, we are God's children now. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love remains in death.
By this we know love, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brother.
But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Let's turn in our hymnals to selection 25 as we worship the God of glory and the Lord of love, remembering God's great love for us. We'll sing all four stanzas of hymn number 25. Let us stand to sing.
Thank you.
We have sung the praise of our God of glory and our Lord of love. Let us now say what we believe about him using the words of the Apostles' Creed, and they're found inside the front cover of your hymnal. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
May be seated. And as I have returned from a presbytery meeting, I thought I would give you an update on some of the mission and ministry work that's going on in our presbytery. We are helping the Edna Presbyterian Church pick up the pieces of their lives after Hurricane Harvey, and I was able to speak with Michael Yance, the pastor, and Pauline, his wife. And it turns out that the roof of the Edna Church was damaged, and that they also suffered, I believe I mentioned last week, they suffered some roof damage to their home in Florida. They came from Florida. They still had a home there. So they went to Texas to preach at Edna. They were there in Edna when Hurricane Harvey hit. Then they went back to their home in Florida for some time, and that's when Irma hit. So they had both of those disasters. Mike was so thankful for our support and our prayers and our encouragement. And during the course of the conversation, I found out that this is nothing new for Michael and Pauline. They've actually been through three hurricanes. They went through Harvey and Irma this year, and then back in 2005, Wilma got them when they were in Florida. So let's be in prayer for the Yance family. I saw Christian Kreider, our Presbyterian church planter in Austin. And he said that the church that's meeting in his home is not large in number, but he's very encouraged by their spiritual growth, their growth in fellowship, their growth in the knowledge of God. And by the way, he also brought some beer from the brewery he started for us to sample. Saw Brett Becker in his native habitat in Texas. And Brett gave us a brief update on how things are going at Quest Church. They are averaging 50 in worship on a Sunday, and this is the important number. They have about the same number participating in small group Bible studies. That's a wonderful indicator of church health. And he says some good leaders are rising up in the church, and they are training some who could serve as ruling elders. And that's the next step in particularizing a church, is to have a session of ruling elders. So they are making progress. I had a good visit with one of our missionaries involved in our Engage 2025 project in Lebanon. And he said that the Tuesday night prayer group has grown enough to be divided into two groups, and that Sunday worship is overflowing. They have to put out folding chairs in the aisles. They have people standing outside on the steps for worship on Sunday. God is at work. He says there are many people who want to study. There are many people who want to know more about Jesus. They've started four home-based Bible studies in the last few months, most with women, one with a family, and this family is so on fire to learn more about Jesus that once they have their Bible study with the missionaries during on a week, then they invite a bunch of their friends over, and they teach the same Bible study to them. So God is really at work. The guys play soccer with the men after church on Sunday, and this started off as what we would call a reach event. You know, you have an event, you bring people to the event, and then you invite them to worship. They weren't sure how many would come to worship, but it's turned out that they come to worship on Sunday now, and then they stay for soccer. So that's a great example of church growth at work. He asked the presbytery for prayers for the work, and he thanked us for our support. It was just a great time of fellowship in the Lord, and so encouraging to see how God's work is progressing throughout our presbytery and throughout the world. With that gratitude in mind, let's take up our hymnals and turn to selection 424 as we sing of God's great love. We'll sing all five stanzas of hymn 424. Let us stand to sing. You may be seated. O Lord and Master of us all, we own thy sway, we hear thy call. We've already begun our time of prayer, asking God to fill us with his love, to devote us more consistently to his service. So let's continue in that attitude of prayer. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we give you thanks and praise for who you are. We've sung your praise, Lord. We've acknowledged that you are a God of love and joy and peace. We have acknowledged that you are a God who blesses your people. Lord, sometimes it's easier for us to believe that than others. Father, we all know people in our circle of friends who are having a very hard time. And of course, our hearts are broken as we think about what's going on over in Texas and in Florida and now in Puerto Rico as people try to pick up the pieces of their lives after these storms. And so, our Lord, we pray that you would be a very present help to us to the loved ones that we have live with us, and also, Lord, to those in Texas who continue to clean up after Hurricane Harvey. Father, we pray for Christ EPC in Houston and for Richard Harris, their pastor. We pray for the City of Refuge in Houston and Icky Soma, their pastor. We pray for Cornerstone Church in Katy and for Carter Sanger, their pastor. Lord, for these churches and others in the Houston area, we ask your comforting presence. Help them, Lord, as the miles grow longer in this marathon of hurricane relief. Give them strength and courage as they continue to try to meet the needs that seem overwhelming. Draw them close to you, Lord. We pray for our sister congregation in Edna and for Michael Yance, their pastor. Lord, we ask that as they have experienced these terrible winds and have suffered so much damage, Lord, that you would blow the wind of your Spirit into their hearts and kindle afresh a flame for you. Help them, Lord. Give them strength. We pray, O Lord, for our brothers and sisters at Covenant EPC in Lake Jackson and for Alan Trafford, their pastor. And Lord, as the floods came later and the floodwaters abated later, they're a little bit earlier in the relief process. Lord, they still have the need for some volunteer teams to come in for the next few weeks. We pray those volunteers would come. We pray, our Father, that you would give them strength and courage as they run the race. Bless Daniel Nguyen and the Bel Air Vietnamese Fellowship as they try to put their lives back together after losing several days' wages. Bless Daniel Satuka, our chaplain there, as he seeks to recover from his home being flooded out. And Lord, we pray for others in our presbytery. We pray for our church plants. We pray for Christian Kreider and Marilyn as they host a little church in their home. We pray, O Lord, not only for increased depth of knowledge of Christ, but we would be bold to pray that many others would come to Christ through the efforts of this little church. Father, we pray for Brett and Corinne Becker and for the Quest Church that's worshiping this morning in New Braunfels. Father, we pray that you would draw many unto Christ through the efforts of this church, that you would stabilize and encourage this large group that is now gathering every Sunday. Lord, we pray for Ben and Jenny Cunningham and their efforts to plant a church in New Orleans. Father, we pray that you would draw many unto yourself through the work and the ministry and the love of this little church. And Lord, we pray for those in our presbytery that have needs. Father, we pray especially for Charles Ray, our good friend from Macomb, Mississippi, who serves our Magnolia and Osaka churches. God, we know he's in the hospital right now, and we just pray for healing. We pray for encouragement for Carolyn. Lord, bless Ray Teer as his wife Linda is recovering from surgery. Bless Bruce Rux, whose wife Carol is recovering as well. Lord, we thank you for the gift of presbytery, for connection with churches in so many places. Thank you for the encouragement we have from one another, and thank you for the privilege of praying for them. We ask, O Lord, that you would build us up, that you would fill us up with your word, that you would draw us close to yourself, that we might be truly the people of God whom you have called us to be. And we offer this prayer in the name of Christ and for his sake. Amen. The Lord is good, merciful, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. Let us give God thanks and praise for all of his gifts as we give unto the Lord his tithes and our offerings. Let us pray. Lord, you are the giver of all good gifts, and you have poured out your gifts upon us so richly, so abundantly, spiritually, materially. You've blessed us in so many ways. And so as we return a portion of those material blessings to you, we pray that you would also take of ourselves, that you would take us, that you would use us however you will. Take all we are and all we have and use us for your glory. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. After a presbytery meeting, I thought it would be appropriate to look at Psalm 133, a short psalm, but it talks about our connection with one another. Psalm 133, Song of Degrees of David. This is the word of the Lord. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that ran down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. That's God's word. Okay, so why did so many people make a trek all the way out to San Antonio for a presbytery meeting this week? I saw Alec Flint, pastor of Covenant Church in Mobile, Alabama, and he made the trip. Now, yes, we worship together, but it's not like that's the only place one can gather for preaching and prayers and praise. Most of the teaching elders lead worship quite often. And one would hope that all the ruling elders attend on a regular basis in their various congregations. We saw a video about the work of the General Assembly, but that's available on YouTube. We learned about our presbytery's work in hurricane relief and global mission, but we can get similar information over the internet or through email. We conducted some important business. But lots of the presbytery's work already gets handled by teleconference. And sure, we had a great special speaker, Dr. Ligon Duncan, the Chancellor of Reformed Seminary and one of my seminary professors 20 years ago. But Dr. Duncan has too many sermons and podcasts already recorded online to count. So why did we all go to all the trouble to travel all the way to Texas to do what we can all do with much greater comfort in all the different places where we live? Well, we gathered for Presbytery the same reason that we gather as a congregation to worship every Lord's Day. As individual Christians, we can and we should read the Scripture and pray on our own anytime we want to. But we gather to worship in no small part because of the kind of thing David was talking about, because of the unity we enjoy, because we enjoy being together. We come together to enjoy the way in which God reveals himself to his people in the communion of the saints, the fellowship of the church. It's that unity David celebrates in Psalm 133. But at first glance, he does this in a little bit of a confusing way. The first verse is clear enough. How good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell in unity. We understand the blessing of fellowship. We have often enjoyed it. Next week in Grand Gulf, we'll do that with gusto. But what does ointment have to do with unity? What does dew have to do with unity? Well, let's look at each of these poetic images in turn. Precious ointment. This refers to anointing oil. Now, in those days, people loved to put olive oil containing aromatic herbs on their skin to soften their skin, to smooth their skin. And some of the aromatic herbs they would put in this oil were rare. Some of them were so expensive that this kind of oil was included in the list of treasures that King Hezekiah showed to the ambassadors who came to visit him from Babylon. He said, "Oh, here's my gold, and here's my silver, and here's my anointing oil." Anointing oil. Well, it's something we still consider pleasant, right? You know how good it feels to rub lotion onto dry skin. But how is this similar to the pleasantness of unity and fellowship? What's the connection? Well, isn't the pleasant feeling we get from being in harmony with one another, isn't that almost tangible? Sometimes it is tangible when you get a hug. Don't we literally feel better when we're around people we care about? Anointing oil feels good. Unity feels good. There's something else. The different spices and the herbs contained in this anointing oil, they produced a delightful aroma. The Song of Solomon says that such oil has a pleasing fragrance. So David seems to be telling us that unity among brothers and sisters in Christ exhibits the love of Christ, gives off the love of Christ, radiates the love of Christ, even to those outside the church. Feels good, smells good. So how are we doing? Sure, we like one another, but how obvious, how aromatic is our love? If a tourist came in to see the building during or after worship, would he be able to detect the aroma of our affection for one another? And what about during the rest of the week? Is our love for one another just as obvious outside these walls as it is on Sunday mornings? Would non-Christians find our love just as attractive as those ancient Hebrews enjoyed the feel and the smell of anointing oil? Behold how good and how pleasant it is when we dwell together in unity. Of course, that wasn't all that anointing oil was good for. In fact, the text literally calls it good oil. It uses the same word that describes unity in verse 1. We are invited then to think of how the goodness of anointing oil is similar to the goodness of unity, just as the pleasantness of anointing oil is related to the pleasantness of unity. So what about this goodness? Well, how does David describe it? What does it do? For one thing, he points out that this oil doesn't just plop down in one place. We're not talking jello here. It runs. Runs down the beard. It runs down onto the clothing.
Christian unity is like that. It doesn't stay in one place. It's in lots of places. The fact that so many members of different congregations could gather in San Antonio proves that. Wherever God's people are, no matter whether in a Promise Keepers meeting of hundreds of thousands or in a Presbytery meeting of 50 or simply two or three in a prayer group, there is an expression of the unity of the church, the unity which spreads out into little groups all over the world. But it isn't just Christians who spread out all over the world. The effects of our unity spread out all over the world too. Just as the oil runs down the head and onto the beard, so the fruits of Christian unity and harmony are not limited to any one congregation. Think, for example, of all the hurricane victims who've been helped by the offerings raised throughout the EPC. Think of the work groups that have come from all different denominations to help folks in Houston and Katy and Lake Jackson muck out their houses and get them ready for renovation. All of them, both the helpers and the storm victims, all of them have experienced the fruits of the unity of the church. Or think about the Syrian refugees who are able to meet Christians and learn about Jesus through the work of the Engage 2025 project. All that is possible because of the work of dedicated missionaries who go overseas, who spread out. All that's possible because of the gifts and the prayers from congregations like ours that reach across oceans. Or think about the unchurched, or what Christian Kreider likes to call de-churched people, who are encountering genuine Christian community, some of them for the very first time, in Austin, Texas, in New Orleans, Louisiana, in New Braunfels, Texas. And why are they able to encounter the love of God? Because of our Presbytery's church planting efforts. None of these things could happen without the gifts and the prayers of God's people, without a tangible expression of the unity of the church spreading out. And this holds true even closer to home. Think about the Grace Christian Counseling Center, organized through the cooperation of three different congregations in Vicksburg, Methodist, Episcopal, and Presbyterian. Can you believe we agreed on anything? And because of the branch office next to the Methodist Church here in town, many of the people of our own community have been nourished by this fruit of the unity of the church. Or think about Christian Volunteer Service. Last year, 750-something families were helped with home repairs, food packages, utilities, medications. Those funds didn't come from just one congregation. Our congregation hosts work teams, and they come from two different states and three different denominations. They come every year to do repairs, to run Vacation Bible School. Look, no one congregation can support any of these ministries. But because so many of us cooperate, the fruit of the unity of the church demonstrates the love of Jesus Christ to many people, just as that sweet-smelling, good-feeling oil ran down Aaron's head and beard and clothes. The unity of the brethren, the unity of the body of Christ. Okay, well, what about the second of David's two illustrations? We've seen how Christian unity is similar to anointing oil. What about dew? Well, again, we have to look at how dew is pleasant, and we have to look at how dew is good. Pleasant. We know dew can be pleasant in Mississippi, so cool to the touch after a hot summer night. But in a place where David lived, dew is much more important. See, for many months out of the year, no rain falls there. The only moisture that plants receive is the dew. But God is gracious to provide it in abundance, especially on the tops of mountains like Mount Hermon. So for David, dew was a symbol of needed refreshment. Needed refreshment. And don't we feel the same sort of thing when we come together for worship? I know that's one reason why I love to go to Presbytery meeting, although I have to work during a lot of the meeting time. In the evening worship time, I don't have anything else to do. So I get to do what you do every Sunday morning. I get to sit in the pew and listen to a great sermon and sing and just enjoy being with my friends. And all of us enjoy that refreshment every week, don't we? Especially when we see folks and worship with folks we haven't seen in a long time. We just gather around and we just love on them. It's great. Needed refreshment. But if dew is a symbol of refreshment, I think it also carries an idea of extent. The dew in the morning covers everything. And in the same way, good fellowship permeates, soaks everything. Now, perhaps that's most easily seen in contrast. I mean, when you're upset with somebody close to you, doesn't everything take on a measure of misery? When you're crossed up with someone, nothing is pleasant. Discord spoils your whole outlook. Well, love is just as pervasive, isn't it? Just as the heavy dews of Mount Hermon saturate plants with life-giving water, so good relations with our friends and our neighbors bring joy to every part of our life. Just builds us up, lifts us up. Okay, so the refreshing, far-reaching pleasantness of dew is easily seen. What about its goodness? Well, we saw David shift his focus. He first talks about oil in general, and then he talks about the holy anointing oil of Aaron. So now he moves our attention from the heavy dews of Mount Hermon to the admittedly lesser ones of Mount Zion, the holy mountain, the mountain on which the city of Jerusalem was built. Okay, so why was Mount Zion so special to David? Sure, it was his capital, but at the time of his life, the temple hadn't been built yet. God was still being worshipped in a tabernacle, a tent, that could be moved around from place to place. So why does David tell Zion is special? Why does David say, there the Lord commanded the blessing? What blessing? Well, there are two possibilities. The first could be drawn from David's own life experience. Yes, we know he conquered the city of Jerusalem. He had set up his capital there. He had built his palace there. And he made up his mind that he wanted to build a big temple for God. And God disagreed. God had a better idea. God said, David, I know you want to build me a house, but I tell you what, I'm going to build you a house. Not a physical building, but a dynasty, one that would last forever. God said this to David, your house, your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established forever. The blessing that David received in his palace in Jerusalem, the blessing that David received on Mount Zion, the promise of an enduring dynasty and everlasting kingdom. This could be what he's talking about in verse 3. But there's another possibility, one that comes from a much earlier incident, one that happened during the life of Abraham, 1,000 years before David. For it was on Mount Moriah, which was later called Mount Zion, same place, that Abraham was asked to offer up his son Isaac. He was willing to do it, but God stopped him, and God provided a ram instead. At that time, God told Abraham, in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. So, when David says that on Mount Zion God promised us blessing, does he mean the promise that his dynasty would never end? Or is he referring to the promise of blessing that God gave to Abraham? Well, the beautiful thing is we don't have to choose. because both promises are fulfilled in the same person, the person of Jesus. For Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of David. He is the one whose kingdom will never end. And Jesus is the seed of Abraham, the descendant of Abraham, the Lamb of God offered up for sinners like us, the one in whom all the nations of the earth are blessed. And here's the connection between Jesus and what David is talking about in his poem. Jesus Christ, the Son of David, would die on Mount Zion, and in his death, God commanded the blessing of eternal life to all who would believe in him. The last line of this poem points out that Mount Zion is good because of what had already happened there in Abraham's life and David's life, and because of what would happen there through Jesus Christ. There, God commanded the blessing. One more question, though. What does the blessing of Jesus Christ have to do with the goodness and the pleasantness of dwelling in unity? Well, everything. For it's the fact that we're connected to Christ that makes us connected to one another. Isn't it? It's our faith in Christ that joins us with Christ and that joins us together as the body of Christ. Without Christ, the church doesn't hold together. Without Christ, the church doesn't exist. In the same way, it's the Spirit of Christ which fills the church. It's the Spirit of Christ which brings the goodness and the pleasantness to the unity that David describes. When we come together for fellowship and worship, it is Christ who is with us. And so let us rejoice that God's Spirit pervades his church, just as the refreshing dew saturates Mount Hermon, just as the sweet-smelling, good-feeling anointing oil covers everything it touches. Let us rejoice today as we fellowship with one another that we have an opportunity to see God's Holy Spirit in one another. For you see, in Jesus Christ, God is not only with us. In Jesus Christ, God is not only among us. God is within us, saturating us, covering us. And all who trust in him have his greatest blessing, life forevermore. Let us pray. Lord, give us more of this life. Give us more of this blessing. Fill us up with Jesus. Saturate us with Jesus. Smear us all over with Jesus, so that we then will see Christ in one another, and that the world may see Christ as they see us loving one another. Oh Lord, make us truly the people of God. For we pray in the name of Christ and for his sake. Amen. Let us celebrate this great gift of the church as we take up our hymnals. We'll turn to selection 200 and we'll sing "The Church is One Foundation." We'll sing all five stanzas and let us stand to sing.
She on earth hath union with God, the three in one. May Christ fill us this week. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.